Revelation Revealed, Part 3, Section 18, Chapter 2, Verse 1 through 7, the letter to Ephesus. Verse 1, the angel to the church of Ephesus write. John is being asked to write a letter to the angel, meaning a real angel, or the pastor of the community of Christ in Ephesus, otherwise known as the church. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I've commented on the stars and lampstands before, so I won't go into that here, but at the beginning of every letter, something is said about Jesus, and it's usually something important. Verse 2, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Jesus says some pretty good things about these believers. They really have persevered through great hardship, and they detest false doctrine, false apostles. This is something that we should learn today, because the modern church does not have this same conviction that we must detest false doctrine and false apostles and false prophets. Jesus, as you will see throughout these letters, just is beside himself when it comes to false doctrine and false teachers. Now notice, we have very much Old Testament Hebrew language here. He's talking about works. If you read the book of Ephesians that Paul wrote, it's all about grace. We are saved by faith in God's grace. This letter seems to be all about works. And for those who believe this letter is written to Jews in the Great Tribulation, they point that out. Now, the reason why some believe it's written to Jews in the Great Tribulation is because they believe the rapture that comes prior to the tribulation ends the age of grace, and God picks up with the Jews where he left off in the Old Testament. And therefore, the book of Revelation, the Great Tribulation, what Jeremiah 37 calls Jacob's trouble, is all about bringing Israel back to the covenant which they agreed with God to keep, meaning the Mosaic covenant. So for that reason, those who believe these churches are Jewish communities in the Great Tribulation point out this is very much a letter of works that the Jews understood because of Old Testament teaching. This letter does not appear to be a letter of grace. If you believe that this letter was written to and for the community of Christ in John's day, then you would believe that, yes, Christians are saved by faith, but we do need to do good works. And even Paul says that in the book of Ephesians. He says we are called to good works in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Verse 4, but I hold this against you. So he has something against these guys. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. So this is the point. These Ephesians, whoever they were, Christians in John's day or Jews in the Great Tribulation, they had lost their first love. Jesus said, you must repent. What did Jesus tell these guys to do to gain their first love? He told them to do the things you used to do when you had the fire in your heart. The simple point is, if you begin to do those things you did do when you had the fire will be reignited. We have something to learn here, both as Christians in our day and just people in our day. Let's take marriage, for example. It's obvious that couples tend to lose their fire, their first love, over the years. To regain that first love, Jesus is a good marriage counselor here. He says, do the things you used to do when you used to feel the fire of love when you first met, when you first got married. Go out on dates and do those things. When you do them again, you will rekindle the fire of first love. The same with our Christian faith. If, for some reason, you have lost your first love, the way to regain it, according to Jesus in this verse, is begin to do the things you used to do, whatever things they were. That, along with the Holy Spirit, will generate that love again. If you don't, this is dangerous ground. Like, this is heavy stuff. If you don't, Jesus said to the community here that I'm going to take away your lampstand. He's not really saying you're going to lose your salvation. He's talking to a community of people that if they don't repent as a community, then they will no longer be his representatives of light and truth and salvation to the world. They will be just like any other civil or civic group. You might as well call them the Kiwanis Club, because they won't be a legitimate expression of God to the world. The Holy Spirit will depart from their community. Verse 6, but you have this in your favor, you hate, and hate's a strong word, the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. I'm not going to get involved in the practice of the Nicolaitans. They obviously were a cult. There's much discrepancy on who these guys were. But the word hate is strong. Again, we see that Jesus hates cults. He hates wrong doctrine. He hates false apostles. And he expects us to hate them. And obviously, these Ephesians did hate them. Verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear. And this is how each letter ends, what the Spirit says to the churches or to the communities of believers. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. We see this tree of life when the book of Revelation closes in the New Jerusalem. Those who overcome. The Christian life is a process of overcoming self, overcoming the world, and overcoming Satan. If you endure to the end and overcome, there is a great reward for you and I and for whoever these people in Ephesus are, whether in John's day or the day of the Great Tribulation.